I'm ready to go on the stream because we got to get this show rolling. You bet. All right. Thank you so much, Otis. This is Julie Hewitt, the chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is a regular meeting for Thursday, May 18th, 2023, and it is 8:37 p.m. on the East Coast, and I believe we have quorum. Madam Secretary, are you prepared to call the roll?
Yes, I am.
Go for it.
Okay, Teresa Allen. Adriana Casanabe. James Dingman.
Here.
Thank you. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. Fred Dodsworth. William Foster.
Bill's
here. Okay. Present. Sue Goodwin.
Present.
Thank you. Heather Gray.
I'm here, but I don't see my name anywhere on this. But anyway, I'm here.
Oh, you're there. I see you.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. It says Heather Gray.
I can't see myself. Okay, go ahead.
Donna Grimes.
Here.
Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Avelia Jones.
Present.
Ali Lexa. I see you, but you're muted. Ali Lexa.
Cat's got his tongue.
Marianne Martinez.
Here. Here.
James McFadden.
Oh, McFadden's not here this evening. He's traveling.
Right. Okay. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Thank you. Sean Rhodes.
I am here.
Thank you. James Sagerton.
Here.
Thank you. Sharon Salam. Okay. Aki Tanaka.
You.
Elizabeth Van Gunten.
Here.
Thank you. Egberto Willis. No.
Here.
Thank you. Teresa Allen. Adriana Casanabe. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. Fred Dodsworth. Ali Lexa.
Present.
Thank you. Sharon Salam. Okay. Fifteen present.
All right. We have quorum then. Thank you, Nancy. Next item on the agenda is to read the report.
Stephanie Wells. Okay. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Here.
And Nancy Sorden. Me. I'm here. Arthur Schwartz. Okay.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to somehow like modify the agenda so I don't jump ahead to the next thing every time. So the next item on the agenda is to read the report out from the executive session of May 4th, 2023. It is the PNB met in closed session to discuss confidential contracts and legal and personnel matters. The PNB also passed the following motion. Moved that a national election supervisor be hired as soon as possible. Okay. Next item on the agenda is excused absences. Okay, so this is bad, folks, because I'm like doing this from memory, and I can tell you for a fact that I have not read all of my emails. I know for a fact, though, that James McFadden asked for an excused absence because he was going to be traveling. I don't recall getting requests from others, although I got a request from Sharon Salon, but I think that was for last week when we didn't meet. But I don't remember if I heard anything from anybody else. So
Vanessa's here. Vanessa's here now.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Does someone want to make a motion on excusing absences?
Yeah, I move to excuse everybody.
Is there a second?
Second.
A second.
Thank you. I heard Sue Goodwin first. Objections to the motion to excuse the absences of those not present this evening?
I was just going to say, they didn't call, they didn't contact anybody. We just said that we need to do that to keep order.
Understood, Donna. I apologize, but I have not been able to read all my email this week. It is entirely possible that people did say something and I just haven't read it. I'm reporting what I remember. So
I resent. I retract my comment.
Thank you. So hearing no objections.
I didn't get any requests sent to me.
Okay. Thanks.
But I don't know if they sent them to the secretary or just you or the PNB.
Well, they should certainly definitely under no circumstance send it only to me. It would be good for people to copy the secretary if you're going to send it to me and not the whole PNB. Okay, so we'll move on to timekeepers. And so I need someone to be the timekeeper for people.
I'll do it, Julie. This is Heather.
Thank you, Heather. And can I get a volunteer the time agenda items?
I can do it.
Thank you, Darlene. That brings us to, the next item on the agenda, which is 5-minute item, Darlene. And this is agenda approval for the open portion of the agenda. Let me quickly run through, the open portion of the agenda. I have an item on there for approving minutes. Then I have an ED report and Q&A, a general counsel report and Q&A, some finance committee motions on budgets and central services, a motion on forward promotion, and then closing out with the usual unfinished business, news business, and then a motion to move into executive session at a time certain of 10:10 p.m. We're not approving the executive portion of the agenda, but I'll keep reading just so that those listening to the stream know. Then we do agenda approval for the executive portion, approval of minutes, a motion to amend a motion passed at the May 4th meeting, general counsel report and Q&A, confidential contractual matter, ED report and Q&A, confidential disciplinary matter twice, and then the usual closeout items, unfinished business, new business, discussing what we can share with LSBs in closed session, the report out for KPFTX and for reading out at the next open session, as well as the Ryzen report and adjourning at a time certain of midnight. Okay, so that's the agenda. I move the agenda. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Heather. Any discussion of the agenda? All right. Hearing no discussion, I will report, Nancy, that Fred Dodsworth has joined the meeting.
Thank you. I'm present.
Hearing no further discussion of the agenda, are there any objections to approving the agenda as drafted? Hearing none. We'll consider the agenda approved. That takes us to agenda item 3, which is approving minutes. And Nancy, I don't know if we have minutes to approve.
No, I'm so close. I had a lot of things going on this week, and also at the very last minute before the meeting. which I was going to forward something to approve, but I got had a kind of an emergency before the meeting. So promise I will have something next week, next meeting.
Great. All right. Thank you. So then that takes us to the next item on the agenda, which is the executive director report and Q&A. And this is a 20-minute item, Darlene. Stephanie, do you have anything you'd like to share with folks this evening?
Yes, I sent everyone the ED report prior to the meeting, and that also included the draft of the consolidated financials for period ending March 31st. And those have not been, we just received them probably 2 hours prior to the start of this meeting. So they have been sent to all of the general managers and the division directors, and also asked them to forward it to their station treasurers for review, and also for review with any staff members that they deem necessary. And then, as we have done in the past, Markeisha and I will meet with the general managers who have any questions and to go over any of those financials. For example, we're meeting with the general or interim general manager at KPFK tomorrow at noon just to review that. And I spoke with Ursula from the affiliate network today as well, and then we're meeting again next week. So all of those are attached. They have not been submitted for approval or review by the National Finance Committee yet, but I'm sure that they will be reviewing them at the next meeting this upcoming Tuesday. The CPB grant application was submitted prior to the May 8th deadline. We received confirmation of CPB that they received the submission, and they were able to download all of the attachments and the exhibits because they were too large to add to the email. So they were uploaded to an outside site, and then they were able to download those. And they stated that they will follow up with me as they continue to review the application. So hopefully we will hear something from them prior to October of this year. In the PD report that was sent to you, there is a link to the application. So feel free to go ahead and take a look at that if you would like. As far as the Los Angeles building, there hasn't been any major significant movement from any other potential buyers. We do have a bid that was given to us. We counter-offered, but we have yet to hear from that potential buyer yet. The broker has told us they are still on holiday, but I've reached out to the broker to try to urge them along to see if they receive the counter or if they want to counter our counter. We have been in active conversations with some local organizations for temporary housing for both KPFK and the archives. I can talk about that at greater length since nothing is really finalized, but I'll talk about that with greater detail in a closed session. We also in the report, there is quite a bit of information regarding the upcoming elections. So we can probably, I don't know if that's something to go over in closed session or open session, but in the ED report, there is a proposed budget for the 2023 elections, which is approximately a reduction of about 50% from the cost of the delegate elections in 2021. So the proposed budget is roughly, I'm rounding here, $73,000. The 2021 elections cost $149,100. So we've had a significant reduction in that budget by reducing labor costs, material costs, and that also involves then getting a greater involvement of the election committee volunteers. So we kind of go into greater detail with some of that information in the report. One thing that was kind of interesting is, we're really going to aim to reduce the cost that's associated with the paper ballot postcard portion of the delegate election. That doesn't mean that the paper ballots will not be available. We will still make those available for people that are in need of them, not just wanting them. In 2021, only 3% of the votes were cast using paper ballots. There were some people that requested paper ballots, but then ended up voting electronically anyway. So we will, hopefully be able to reduce the cost of that by providing people with assistance if they need it for an electronic ballot, and then providing those paper ballots if it really is something that is necessary. The timeline that was submitted in the last ED report is also submitted in this report with a few revisions and a bit more detail as we're kind of mapping things out. But what we are looking at is to be able to have the nomination phase open on June 1st, nomination phase close on June 30th. And we, again, the list goes into greater detail that's part of the attachment of the report with the results certified by October 1st of 2023. And then also attached in the ED report is the proposed budget that is a actual cost of the 2021 elections and then the estimate proposed cost for the 2023 elections so you can have a comparison. Any questions?
Questions for Stephanie? I don't see any hands. All right. Thank you, Stephanie. Next up's the General Counsel report and Q&A, although Arthur has not yet joined us. I don't really expect to see him until closed session. But I did not get a chance to talk to him about whether he had anything to report in open session, although I'm not sure that he does. And I've talked to him a couple times in the last week. So that brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is Finance Committee motions on budgets and central services. And this is a 20-minute item. And I will turn it over to you, Jim Sagerton. The one thing I will point out is that I don't have motions on budgets in the appendix, but I do have the motion on central services pasted in the appendix.
Thank you, Julie. And we can craft some quick motions. It's just, you know, the PNB approves the draft agenda of the XYZ station for fiscal year 23. So we have a little bit of a background story here. First of all, budget submissions have been very slow this year. They weren't as slow last year. They are slow this year, so we haven't gotten very far. We've only done three budgets, the National Office, the Pacifica Affiliates Network, and the KPFT. And the others are in process, and Stephanie is working with Markeisha and the general managers to do the fiscal year 23 budgets at the same time doing the fiscal year 24 budgets. So hopefully we can get caught up on some of this. So the additional backstory is that the budgets that we did pass, we passed provisionally dependent upon the passage of a central services formula. You know, you can't really figure out what you need to budget for if you don't know what your expenses are. And a big part of the expenses for stations is their central services. So we did finally hammer out a central services formula, which is in the motion in the appendix. And I think we should do that first because, again, the budgets incorporated a 15% central services number. And we, you know, that needs to be incorporated before we can pass the other budgets. So I'm going to ask everyone to please turn to the appendix of the agenda, which I'm going to myself right now, and then I will read the motion. Waiting for it to come up. Okay. The motion is, the NFC recommends that the PNB pass the following motion, that the central services formula shall be 15% of total station revenue, all inclusive, calculated every month on a 6-month rolling average, starting 9 months before the current month, with the exception of any station suffering acute financial distress as determined by the PNB, for which central services shall be 8% for a period of no more than 1 year, with the remaining 7% to be accrued. Now, I don't know if that could probably use some explanation. When we say it's 15% of total stational revenue, in parentheses, all inclusive, that means we're going to be counting bequests, grants, large and small donations. We all remember that we have a provision in the FJC agreement that the stations will pay 30% of windfall income over, I think it was over $100,000, but I don't, I'm not certain of the number anymore. it's all income, and this will be calculated every month. The income will be on a rolling 6 month average. Now we're going to take an average of 6 months, and that 6 month rolling average will begin at 9 months before the current period. So we have a little room there. And that's how we'll come up with, you know, that way the, if a station's income is changing dramatically, we can adjust for it, as unfortunately happened when our new central services formula was not implemented a couple of years ago. KPFK, for example, continued to be assessed their central services amount based on prior year's income. I think it was 5 years prior, when their income was much higher than it was then, and so their central service assessment has just been absurdly high for quite some time now. This will bring it in line with reality. Let me ask now if there's any questions about any of what I've said so far. I think that means either nobody understands what I'm talking about or everybody.
Yeah, I don't see any hands, James. I assume everybody gets it.
That's all good. Okay.
I have a question. I do have a question, which is, as we start this, are there stations already determined to be distress rates?
Well, as we discussed this, the two obvious stations are KPFK and WBAI that are in distress. And this was contemplated to give them a reduced rate, but unfortunately neither station has been paying central services this year. So they've already used up the 8%, the diminished rate that we granted them. And going forward, they would have to pay the full rate anyway. So it was a gesture, but,
And James, to follow along on that, I just lost my sentence, my train of thought. So they've already gotten, okay, sorry, I'll come back. Can't remember what I was going to ask.
No worry. Vanessa, while we give Darlene a moment to think.
Yeah, Vanessa has her hand up. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Which two stations did you say? I missed it.
KPFK and WBAI. Those are the
stations
that are historically stressed for the last few years.
Okay, thank you.
WBAI longer, of course. Any other questions? Did you recover your thought, Darlene?
It had something to do with we are now making it a clear accrual for unpaid portions, whether the 15% or the 7% or, in some years, 100% of the amount, but that's still accruing and is listed as such in the financials.
Yes. Well, let's be clear about one thing. There's no 100%. There's 15% and 8%. And this is the formula on which we base what a station will pay. And we just did this at WBAI at our finance committee last night. For example, if we make $105,000 a month, our central services, the central services formula would mean that we would owe $15,750 per month in central services. At the 8%, I think it was 8,000 something, 8,000 and change, per month. So each station can figure that out based on their actual revenue. And so it's just 15% of total revenue. It's like your tax rate is, you know,
Right.
15%
right.
of your total income.
Yeah, by 100%, I meant if no central services were paid, as is the case, then 100% of the assessment, which is 15%,
yes.
Would accrue. Thanks.
Absolutely right. And which is what has been done historically as well. It's just, it's not a forgiveness. It's accrued.
Thank you. Got it.
Okay. Any other questions? If there are no other questions, I think we should turn it back to Julie.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Fred. Yep.
I'm not sure whether I read this in the executive session or the regular notes, but it turns out that there is a rather substantial cliff that we're facing in June. I said, does everybody know what I'm talking about?
I think we should probably discuss that in a closed session.
Well, I kind of wonder what the financial committee's report is doing when our issues are so much more serious.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
I'll take a crack at it. So I mean, I think, you know, Fred's basically asking, why are we acting like it's business as usual when it may not be?
It's kind of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
And yeah, although I do think, what we need to do is we need to have good practices, right? We need to plan for the future and we need to, we need to have good practices, right? And so I think this is a good practice. We, the finance committee has talked about this for a while. This is in some ways simpler and more straightforward than some other options that we've talked about. On the other hand, the fact that it's based on a rolling average, that's a little more complicated than the flat number, but I think it's responsive to the fact that, you know, stations revenue does tend to fluctuate. And so this will take that into account. And by taking that into account, in principle, stations shouldn't have difficulty making their central service payments, right? So, let's be frank. The point is what central services covers are obvious things that people, sometimes stations say, well, that's okay if we don't pay central services. No, it's not okay if you don't pay central services. What does central services cover? It covers things like audits, elections,
insurance,
accounting,
long-term debt,
legal fees. It has in the past, it has covered our long-term debt.
Payroll software.
I'm sorry. What'd you say, Nancy?
Payroll software.
Exactly. We, it costs us money to actually execute payroll. That's different than the stations do pay their individual payroll, but, you know,
due diligence
payroll. So, you know, it covers a lot of those kinds of very essential components to running a business and, you know, not to mention, you know, salaries for the national office staff who are fairly critical to the foundation as well and making sure that, you know, these things get done. So at any rate, that's why central services are important. And I think what this formula does is it may appear a bit like rearranging, you know, the deck chairs on the Titanic, but, you know, it's a better arrangement of the deck chairs on the Titanic. So,
Julie, I'm the leader of the orchestra and I'm going to keep playing.
There you go. Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Close and my eyes Fred, to Fred, think, you.
Fred, I think your question was basically, you know, we have this raging problem over here. Why are we talking about this mundane stuff over here? And, you know, I guess we'll get to the other stuff. This is just a different part of it. We're compartmentalizing.
Any other questions for Jim and or the finance committee? I mean, I think what will be, you know, if we pass this motion, the thing that will be interesting is that, you know, basically the national office is going to have to, you know, give stations an update, you know, over time, you know, what you owe for central services this month is, you know, because the number can change. And, you know, whereas in the past, it's been a fairly static amount, you know, which doesn't always work for people. So,
I do have another question.
Sure. Go ahead, Fred.
In that there are stations that have not paid central services in some cases, years, maybe even decades. Is this a violation of our bylaws?
Is this motion that we're about
no,
to pass?
No, is allowing a station not to pay central service a violation of our bylaws? It's just a question.
I think the central services formula, there's really nothing about that in the bylaws.
Thank you.
Yep.
It's the way we crafted to try and accomplish the goal.
I agree. It's policy, but it's not part of the bylaws per se. Anyone else with a question about the central service motion, or should I then,
Actually, I think you should take it to a vote because we need to go over each of the three budgets as well.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Are there any objections to the motion on the central services payment or central services formula?
I'd like a vote.
Okay, fair enough. Nancy, can you call the roll?
Okay. Chair, I just wanted to say we have 5 minutes on this.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I didn't miss any, amendments, did I? I was.
No, there were no amendments. It's the motion is in the agenda.
Got it. Teresa Allen. Oh, and so who moved it and who seconded it?
Sorry. It's come from the committee, so it doesn't need a second, and it's from the committee, so the committee's okay. Moving it. I guess you could say I'm moving it as the chair.
Okay. Teresa Allen, Adriana Casanave, James Dingman.
Yes.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes.
Fred Dodsworth.
No.
William Foster.
Yes.
Sue Goodwin.
Yes.
Heather Gray.
Yes.
Donna Grimes.
Yes.
Avelia Jones.
Yes.
Ali Lexa.
Yes.
Marianne Martinez.
Abstain.
James McFadden. Oh, he's not here. Sorry. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
James Sagerton.
Yes.
Sharon Salam. She's here yet. No, wait, let's see her. Aki Tanaka.
Yes.
Elizabeth Van Gunten.
Yes.
Egberto Willis.
Yes.
Teresa Allen. Adriana Casanave. Oops. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Okay, I see what I did. Okay. Sorry, I know I asked you before. Apologies for asking again. Marianne Martinez. Oh, she abstained, right. Okay. I put something on the wrong line. That's why I did that. Okay. Sharon Salam. Okay. Let me count. Fourteen yes, one no, one abstention. Chair, do you wish to vote?
Yeah, I'll vote yes.
Okay. 15 yes, 1 no, 1 abstention.
All right. Which budget is next, Jim?
Why don't we do them in the order that we passed them? We started with the Pacifica Affiliates Network.
Could you repeat that motion?
Oh, well, the one for the budgets?
Yeah, you said this is the motion, just substitute the name of the station.
Exactly, and it will be the same for each one. You know, the motion coming out of the NFC is the NFC recommends that the PNB pass the following motion, but I think we should just say the PNB approves the draft fiscal year 23 budget for, and it's either PAN, NO, National Office, or KPFT. So the PNB approves the fiscal year 23 draft budget for fill in the blank.
Okay. The PNB approves the fiscal year 2023 draft budget for, who are you doing first?
We are at time, Chair.
Move to extend 5 minutes.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second,
Beth.
Thank you, Dingman. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 5 minutes? Hearing none, we'll continue. We were starting with
Pacific Affiliates Network, PAN.
Thanks.
And I sent these around to everyone, on May 4th. I hope everyone remembers that we spoke about this at our last meeting, that we would be doing this at this meeting. So everyone has had these budgets since May 4th. I sent them around again right before the meeting at around 8:48. Actually, it was during the meeting. So you can refer to them if you need to. And I also sent around a notice earlier today saying that we were going to be doing this tonight. So hope everyone has had a chance to review it that intended to. I know not everybody gets a chance to read this, and it's not easy to read for those who aren't used to looking at spreadsheets. But I think we've had ample time to review it. We can have general questions, but the Pacific Affiliates Network budget did contain a deficit. They reduced it significantly. It still has a small deficit. We agreed with the executive director that we would watch how events unfurl at the Affiliates Network and make adjustments as necessary as we went along. So there is a small deficit in it, but the idea is to get all of these budgets on paper and approved, and then the NFC can turn to monitoring the performance on these budgets, which is really a large part of what we're supposed to do, as Julie mentions often. So that's the motion. Does anybody have any questions?
Yeah. Any discussion of the Affiliates Network budget?
I think the Affiliates Network budget was passed unanimously at the NFC. I think our poll puts a note on what the vote was. So you can check that on your, on the email that you got with these budgets. Any other questions?
I'm not seeing any hands.
Okay, I'll let you take over this part, Julie.
All right. Are there any objections to passing the motion to approve the draft FY23 budget for the Pacifica Affiliates Network. Hearing none, we'll consider that budget passed. Which one's next, Jim?
The next one is the national office. And may I just say about the Affiliates Network budget, I'm very happy that everyone has approved this budget, and especially unanimously, or without objection, because, you know, they are one of our productive units that's paying their central services and helping to sustain the national office. So this is a well done for them. Oh, so the next one is the national office budget. We had to get the national office budget before we could do the central services formula, because we need to know how much money we need in order to figure out what percentage of everybody's income would make up that number that was needed. So Stephanie did some calculations, came up with a good number. We double checked it later with the help of Chris Corey, the previous NFC chair, who is also the closest thing we have in Pacifica to an expert on the central services formula. We came up with, what was the number, Stephanie? I think it was it 1.2?
I would have to look at it. I don't have it on the top of my head, but I can
look at it. 1.2, something like that. And we did the math and got the results. And so now we're able to bring all of these budgets forward. I think one thing to say about the national office budget is that the legal fees, the legal costs are the one really volatile thing in the national office budget. We're trying to keep them down, but things keep happening. So it's a little, you know, it's a little questionable. A budget is not a plan. It's a prediction. And so we'll see how that goes. But other than that, I believe this one also passed unanimously on the NFC. And if you'll remember, all of your stations have a PNB director on the NFC, and they have the station's director. And for the units that are not stations, we have the manager and whatever financial person that they have creating these budgets. So I think, you know, if there were any issues with these budgets, you would hear about it from your treasurers and or your PNB representatives. So I think we did a pretty good job on these three. And so I can't think of, unless there are any questions, I can't think of anything else to do, Julie, but go to a vote.
Here we are again at time.
Okay. Well, voting doesn't count. So, let me, find out, if there are any objections to passing the national office budget as drafted. That's not the exact language of the motion. I know that. Hearing no objections, we'll consider the national office budget approved as well. Okay. And now to continue, we need a motion to extend.
Move to extend for another five. I don't think we'll take that long, but.
James, you have an unusual evaluation of how long 5 minutes is. Just saying.
I'm not going to argue.
Thank you. Is there a second? Thank you, Beth.
Second.
Gotcha. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for five? Hearing none, that's what we'll do. Continue. What's the next one?
Okay. Actually, I think I did. I said I was going to take them in order, and I did them. I think I did them out of order. The national office was the last one we did. The second one that we did was KPFT. KPFT was an interesting story. They came in with what they thought was a deficit budget, but right there in the committee, looking at the numbers, we figured out that lo and behold, no, it was not a deficit budget. It actually was a balanced budget. So after much celebration, we passed that budget pretty quickly. And I believe they are keeping in step with their budget. Their fundraising so far has been successful. Their numbers are low, but it's a smaller station, and their goals are conservative, but they're meeting their goals and moving forward. So again, this was, I believe, passed unanimously by the NFC. I think that's the best recommendation for it. And I'll just ask if there are any questions. Hearing none, I'll turn it over to you, Julie.
All right. Thank you, Jim. So we'll go to the motion itself. Are there any objections to the motion to approve the FY23 draft budget for KPFT? Hearing none, we'll consider that budget approved as well. Okay.
Let me just say thank you to everyone. There's a lot of work behind this, and I appreciate the unanimous approvals.
Yeah. Did you want to say anything about the rest of the budgets, or should we just continue on?
Well, I think Stephanie has already said it. She's working with the managers, which is very helpful because the stations were not coming forward with budgets. She's helping them to do that, she and Markeisha. And they're working at the same time on the 2024 budgets because, let's face it, we're coming up on that very quickly. And hopefully next year, you know, we'll get all of this as because we're working on the 24 and the 23 budgets at the same time, we'll have the 24 budgets in place prior to the beginning of the fiscal year, and we can be reviewing them and passing them prior to that beginning of the fiscal year. So hopefully next year we'll be looking a lot better time-wise.
Yep, thanks. That brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is the motion on forward promotion, which is in the appendix. It's a motion from Jim Dingaman. Jim, do you want to read the motion, or do you want me to read it?
No, I'll read it. Okay. Also, I sent to the board a edited version of this, which was updated. I'll read the motion, then I'll motivate it. Now, whereas it is common practice in radio to have a sound traffic management of the airwaves of any radio station, in order to promote the shows and the station to all within the signal radius of the station, it is necessary to strengthen all the segments of the 24-hour airtime defined as day parts, such as morning drive time from 6 to 10 a.m., midday from 10 to 3 p.m., afternoon drive from 3 to 7 p.m., evenings from 7 p.m. to midnight, and overnight from midnight to 6 a.m. And whereas it is essential that the amount of times the station's IDs and forward promotion and direction to our platforms be up several times, which includes the creative use of underwriting ads and other sound elements in all of our day parts. And whereas these IDs should include forward promotion of the next show coming up, highlights or specials in the daily airtime of the station that requires special advertising that includes the creative use of underwriting ads and other sound elements in all our day parts, so be it resolved that the PNB mandates that all producers are required to ID their show and the show coming up after them in addition to playing carts at least 4 to 5 times an hour. Morning and afternoon drive require an even higher number of such forward promotion carts and IDs. This can be done as possible as pertains to the nature of the show itself. There should be constructed bumper carts pre-announcing the day parts of each day and the hourly clock of each show, and all promotion of underwriting carts must include station IDs in their production. These kinds of station ID and forward promotion good practices need to be incorporated in all audio or multi-platform operations by the stations delivering content, including podcasts, the use of social media, streaming audio and video content, and live coverage of events. All managers and PDs will require to implement these policies immediately, and they will submit quarterly reports to the PNB Programming and Strategic Planning Committee as to their progress. This reporting progress shall commence in June 2023. Okay. Now I'd like to motivate this, Madam Chair.
We need a second. Is there a second for Jim's motion?
This came out of the
program. I'll second it.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Ollie.
Ollie, thank you. Now, just to motivate this, this has been a thorny issue for decades in the network. Some stations do it very well. Some stations don't need a policy like this, but some do. And this is just normal SOP, standard operating procedure at any radio station in the United States or elsewhere abroad. The reason I bring this up is that this is, to me, one part of the jigsaw puzzle to solve in terms of us recovering our ability to retain audience and retain listeners. The reason why you do the IDs, why you cross-promote, why you forward-promote, etc., is you basically are trying to deliberately increase the time spent listening to the station, which in turn will lead to people donating money and supporting the station. It's just a simple measure. And in terms of fiscal impact, sure, if you create carts, if you sort of have to instruct announcers to do this, and again, a lot of announcers do this already. Don't get me wrong. I know a lot of this already happens. But it's not consistent, and it's necessary to really, talk about who you are, what you're doing in the show time you're on. In other words, this is Joe Blow. I'm interviewing blah, blah. I'm on KPFA, and coming up next after us is Dada. And stuff like that is just essential to interweave into the seam of the sound in order to solve the problem of audience, frankly. And so this is just a common sense measure that is really a no-brainer that is typical in broadcast radio and television in the United States and around the world. Thank you.
Here, this is Sean. I have two amendments.
Go ahead, Sean.
Okay. The first resolving clause, first two sentences. Let's take the first one first, the last part of it. That where it says, in addition to playing cards at least 4 to 5 times an hour. That's open to misinterpretation, and B, that's a lot of card time for playing cards. So I am going to amend that to say, in addition to playing at least 2 to 3 cards an hour. I think that accomplishes the goal.
I'll second that.
Right. Thank you, Sean. Good suggestion.
Okay. Chair, are there any objection to that? You can ask the body and then I'll get to my second one.
Yeah. Is there any discussion of the motion to amend to change it from 4 to 5 to 2 to 3?
I'd like to motivate it.
Go ahead, Fred.
5 carts an hour is a lot, and 2 to 3 is more than adequate for the purposes of letting our other programs get airtime. I don't think we need 5, and I think Sean's motion is very wise.
Thank you, but as I said, that's open to misinterpretation. What's actually written there is 4 to 5 times an hour.
That's what I heard you say.
That's what he wrote.
Yeah, that's what I wrote.
Oh, I mean, that's why I'm motivating it. It's too much.
Yeah. So it's not just merely a number of carts that's being played. He's saying the number of times those carts get played is too
right.
much.
Right. Well, yeah, Sean, may I just jump in here a second? I agree with your modification. Just let me add a proviso here. The point in a morning drive show is that ideally, there should be a lot of these carts front loaded in the beginning, through the middle, and at the end. And again, in the addendum I have there, we don't have the kind of produced radio that some of the other stations have because they automatically do this. But again, the spirit of what you're saying, I don't want to argue with you. It's a good point. We just have to be flexible about it. That's all. Thank you.
I see Sue Goodwin's hand and then Beth. Go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, what I'm wondering is if a way to proceed might be to set the mandate that the forward promotion has to happen. I don't know if we want to specify how many times, but then as we talk about implementation, perhaps at this point in time, what we want to identify are best practices. because every show is so different. Like the show I produce is sort of a pre-produced magazine show. A lot of forward promotion works better live than pre-recorded. And I guess I want to give folks some play to experiment and figure out what's the best practice.
Thanks, Sue. Beth, you're up.
Thank you. I remember KPFK programming from years ago when our ratings were better, before we went to chopping up every hour as much as we do now. And I preferred it. And these days, I have heard up to I lost count after a dozen back-to-back carts. Some of which were repeats of the same carts that we had just heard within a minute or so ago. And quite honestly, that's when you lose me. That's when I go looking to see what else is on elsewhere where they're actually spending time on the programming instead of all this, what comes across as hard sell. Yes, we need to be doing forward program or forward promotion. But I think a lot of it has to do, its effectiveness has to do with how it's done and how much it's done and how precisely it's done. And I really, I think dictating too much from the board to individual programmers about what they have to do and then holding managers accountable to report on that to the national board frequently just does not seem realistic to me, and I think I would like to think there's a better way to do this. So anyway, I support Sean's amendment.
Next up is Darlene, and remember we're restricted to Sean's amendment discussion. Go ahead.
Right. Anything that can reduce this motion is good for me. At KPFA, we have a minimum of 2 minutes per hour for station ID, forward promo, whether we're in fund drive or not, that sort of thing. 2 minutes of airtime is enormous, and it does affect the programmer. But four or five carts when a schedule is different every day, who's making these carts? Is everybody's board operators so good that they can juggle all these carts? I mean, we have a part-time traffic manager, but you know, but we limit now how many, many, many carts people can get up and running because we only have a part-time traffic manager. So this is too much. The idea and the request from the PMB is a good thing to do. That suddenly the micromanaging of tech people by a group that has very, very few tech people is a big mistake, and it's going to wind up not happening. Done.
Thanks. Fred?
I want to support everything that's been said so far and remind people we're not saying you can't do more. We're saying that you only have to do two, and the fact that we're still discussing this seems kind of silly to me.
Dingman.
All right. Well, it is kind of silly to discuss it, but you know, the problem I have all the time is having listened to the air for several decades, I've consistently listened to shows. I'm talking about New York now, where nobody IDs anything. They'll go on for an hour and not ID the station, the content of what they're talking about. And this occurs in morning drive. I remember several years ago, I was listening to shows in morning drive where this would occur. So the question of 2 minutes, frankly, I would listen to the BBC. I would listen to the stations that are producing underwriting and they integrate that into their forward promotion in the beginning, middle, and end of the shows. Remember, we have a forward promotion policy with underwriting that we've not really implemented seriously throughout the stations. So while I agree with Sean's motion modification spirit, one has to be flexible about this. Morning drive is definitely different than an afternoon drive. It's definitely different than just simply 2 to 3. Thanks.
Ali and then Darlene. Go ahead, Ali.
Okay. So, it's really sad that we even have to bring this motion up. This is something that all radio stations do. It's just for promoting the show that's coming up. Also, a cart doesn't have to be a minute. There's no rule that a cart is minute or 58 seconds long. It can be 15 seconds or 20 seconds. These carts can be pre-recorded by the people that are in the next show coming up, and they can all be preloaded in when the traffic director is putting in whatever shows and carts are coming in. It can also be a read if the board op is there and can do a live read. 2 or 3 carts in an hour. The cart can be 15 seconds just saying, don't forget, coming up at 6, we got the evening news. Just this are very simple little tools that keep listeners engaged. And anybody who knows anything about programming knows that to get listener retention, you need to let them know what's coming up. It's very simple. Also, FCC guidelines dictate that stations are supposed to announce their call letters in frequency at least once an hour. The fact that stations are running and not doing this could be a violation. So look, 3 15 or 20 second carts an hour is not too much to ask. And I don't think anyone's going to be going to any general manager and punishing them if it doesn't happen. It's just an encouragement for something that should have been happening all along. We used to have this as a mandate at KPFK years ago when we had a high listenership, and it was proven to be very effective.
Thanks, Ali. Darlene, and then Fred, go ahead, Darlene.
I agree with Ali. That was what I was going to bring up, which was the FCC requirement for station IDs per hour. We do top and middle station IDs every hour. And, it's the recommendation, the clarifying, the PMB says, would you do this? And we will ask for feedback from the stations on how it's going, as opposed to the detailed directives and demands of the motion. It should be a much more collegial recommendation.
Thanks, Darlene. Fred,
I'd like to move back on the stack and let Sue Goodwin talk. She hasn't spoken yet.
Okay, go ahead, Sue Goodwin.
Thank you, and I have spoken, but I just want to reiterate. It seems, and after listening even more, we need a best practices. We need 2 to 3 people to volunteer, to put it together, and best practices, it's going to be about forward promotion. It's going to be about station ID. We'll decide what it needs to cover. But it's all about what are we saying on the air to promote the brand and promote listening. So let's come up with the best practices. It doesn't have to be very long. And out of that, some things may be deemed mandatory. It's too early to tell.
Okay.
Teresa, put this back.
No, I'm asking that.
Yeah, no, but she didn't raise her hand. So, because she's on the phone. So, actually, Teresa, you go ahead because we haven't heard from you yet and then we'll come back to Fred.
I'm just going to call.
Okay. I just feel this is micromanaging. All of our managers should do this. And if they cannot do it, then they need to find somebody to do it to evaluate all the programmers. I'm looking at something from KPFK. Many years ago, I had a list of what they evaluated on. And if you satisfied at least three of these four, mm-hmm. you know, you could move on. But if you had two of these problems, then you were going to be meeting with somebody frequently. And number one was, is your program technically correct? Number two, does it fit the mission? Number three, is it reaching a constituency in need? And number four, is it raising money? And technically correct, I mean, there should be no doubt. If the people in New York are not doing that, then the general manager should be on their case. So I'm looking forward to the evaluations of the general managers that the executive director is working on, and I'm assuming that all of those general managers are either working with a team of people that are evaluating or the program director that's evaluating, and we should not be talking about this. We shouldn't have to. Thank you.
I'm calling a question.
Yeah, thank you, Fred. So, folks, we are on Sean's amendment to the motion to change the wording that says at least 4 to 5 times an hour, and I believe it's to change it to, and let me see.
It was 2 to 3.
Well, no, but hang on, but I think there's wording too.
I sent the amendment to everyone.
Ah, thank you. Mm-hmm. And is that email?
Yes.
Okay, good. So Nancy, you can get it out of email and, presumably everybody else can see it. And
I have not received Sean's email.
I sent it to the PNB and to Nancy and her two emails addresses.
So, yeah.
On the PNB list.
You get it. It says amendment in it. Hang on. I'll paste it in the chat.
Thank you.
Okay, so it says, in addition to playing at least 2 to 3 carts an hour, instead of, I believe what it says right now, which is to playing carts at least 4 to 5 times an hour. So it says, in addition to playing at least 2 to 3 carts an hour. Okay, any objections to Sean's amendment? Hearing none, the motion is now amended. Sean, you had a second amendment.
Yes.
Go ahead.
The next sentence, morning and afternoon drive times require an even higher number of such forward promotion cards and IDs. I say strike that. Just go to the next sentence about creative use. That's all you need there.
So moved.
Is there a second to Sean's motion?
Yeah, I object to it.
No, well, you can't object to it till it's seconded. Hang on, Jim.
And I seconded it.
Thank you, Fred. Okay. Discussion of, Sean, would you like to motivate striking that sentence?
We've already suggested that playing carts at least 2 or 3 carts an hour is adequate. To have a next sentence that says requires an even higher number of such forward promotion in carts and IDs, you're kind of contradicting the amendment you just made there.
All right, may I speak to that, Julie?
Yeah, go ahead, Dingman.
All right, first of all, morning and afternoon drive are in all the stations. I'm talking about New York now, and I have certainly studied the morning and afternoon drive stats in other stations. They're the highest numbers of people listening to the air. And they are also the moment where, again, by forward promotion, we're talking about not only, okay, coming up, Mr. Moxie now, coming up at 9 o'clock, coming up at 10 o'clock, coming up at 11 o'clock. That kind of consistency throughout the schedule is uneven. And certainly in New York it is. I don't know what it is in Los Angeles. I'm sure if the numbers are as low as they are now, there's been a breakdown of this kind of repeatedness over time. You cannot limit it to just an arbitrary 2 to 3 in morning and afternoon drive. That defeats the whole purpose of taking advantage of the large audience in those particular time slots. In New York, there are, in some cases, up to 10,000 people an hour listening to particular day parts in that 7 to 8 o'clock strip. That is a time that should be the station's business to convey with more carts. And yes, 15, 30 second, 20 second carts are within that parameter. So I don't agree with that. And I would oppose that as simply, you know, creative doesn't say much.
I also give a little bit of thought before we go. So.
Creative is great, but you know, again, people are, you know, we're dealing with 0.1%, 0.2% market share in these markets, 0.3 to 0.4% in Berkeley, 0.6, 0.8 in Washington. There's a lot we can learn from the other stations, but I'm talking about practical things that have immediate impact on creating more people time spent listening. So I disagree with striking that.
All right, Fred.
According to Mr. Dingman's earlier testimony, the big problem is actually WBAI, which doesn't do it. And I think that WBAI, as I think we all know, has got, what is it, 10% of 1% of the market there. I'm tired of micromanaging everything. I'm tired of the PNB trying to micromanage everything. If we have 2 to 3, they can do more. WBAI, please, you folks at WBAI, make sure your folks do more than that. But pushing it through the entire network is absolutely the opposite of what we need to do. We might as well be Sinclair, where we only have, you know, one station nationwide broadcast. You know, let the local markets figure out what they need to do and let them do it and stop mandating and dictating what they need to do.
All right. May I respond to that?
Go ahead.
Yeah. First of all, there's a lot of work that goes on in New York to prevent these kind of problems. To just simply vilify WBAI is inaccurate, because I'm well aware of the kind of work being done by people in New York to solve these problems. So it's not fair to sort of, I think, characterize a situation in that way when I know how much hard work is being done in New York to change that. And to micromanage, I say, you know, we're sitting here confronting financial problems of tremendous depth and worry to all of us. And, you know, top people, we're a broadcasting institution. We're not, you know, the government of the alternative United States. We're a broadcasting institution. To have debates about arguing about Ford promotion, and it should be in every station. I'm not questioning that it's done in other stations well or not. But to not have a national policy about this and sort of delegate it to everybody, oh, you can do whatever you want, do your own thing. Hey, we're in the position we're in right now because that these kind of practical measures weren't paid attention to for several decades. And to me, that's one of the reasons why we're in this financial mess to start with.
Beth, you're next.
Thank you. Yeah, I realize that this may be counterintuitive to some, but more talk is not necessarily more effective talk. There's a distinction. Thank you.
Fred, are you raising your hand because you want to call?
I raised my hand. I want to object to Mr. Dingman's presentation. I did not vilify WBAI. I simply used his statements and his numbers. And when Mr. Dingman says that we are not addressing this issue after decades of abuse, that's not true. We have a motion in front of us right now that mandates 2 to 3 carts an hour. And I strongly recommend the WBAI people go to their general manager and make sure they get more than that. But playing this across the entire network is not the solution. The solution is to manage your own house.
All right. Any further discussion of Sean's second motion to amend? Hearing none, are there any objections to Sean's second motion to amend to strike that sentence?
Yes, I object.
All right. Can we go to a vote, Nancy? Wait a minute. Let me see. Hang on. Before we go to a vote, let me see. Are there objections above and beyond Jim Dingman's objection?
I object. This is Heather.
Okay, let's go to a vote, Nancy.
Okay.
Would you state the vote, Chair?
The motion is to strike the second. This is the motion to amend. It's to strike the second sentence in that particular resolving clause, that the sentence that reads, morning and afternoon drive times require an even higher number of such forward promotion carts and IDs. In other words, just get rid of that sentence. Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Teresa Allen.
You're muted, Teresa.
Request for information, could you state what does a yes vote mean and what does a no vote mean? Thank you.
A yes vote means to remove that sentence.
Okay, thank you.
You're voting for Sean's amendment, which is to remove that sentence.
Thank you.
Teresa Allen. I'll come back. Adriana Casanave.
You're not here.
James Dingman.
No.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
No.
Fred Dodsworth.
Emphatically, yes.
I can only put a yes. William Foster.
No.
Sue Goodwin.
Abstain.
Heather Grant.
No.
Donna Grimes.
Here.
How do you vote? Yes to remove or no to not remove?
Abstain. Remove or not remove? I'm sorry. I abstain.
Avilia Jones.
No.
Sorry. Oh. Ali Lexa.
Pass.
Marianne Martinez.
Yes.
Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
James Sagerton. Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
No.
Okay, thank you. Sharon Salam, are you here yet? Don't see you. Aki Tanaka?
Yes.
Elizabeth Van Gunten?
Yes.
Egberto Willis?
Abstain.
Teresa Allen? I heard you before. You're muted, Teresa. Pass. You're muted.
I'll vote yes.
Okay, one more. Teresa Allen. You're muted. Okay. Let me count. Seven yes.
Teresa, we need a...
Six no. Three abstention. chair, do you wish to vote?
I'll abstain.
Bill passes.
Okay. 7 yes, 6 no, 4 abstentions.
Okay. So the motion is amended. With the amended motion, do we need any further discussion of the amended motion? Or can we call go to question. A vote on? I'm sorry. I didn't hear
call
you.
The question.
Okay. I was just about to ask, can we just go to a vote?
That would be great. Then take back my call the question.
Thank you. Thank you. Hearing no further discussion, are there any objections to the motion as amended? Hearing no objections, the motion as amended passes.
Unanimously.
Could you list me as abstaining, please? Thank you. This is Beth.
Yes.
Thank you.
Does that change the vote?
No, we'll just note an abstention in the minutes. Okay, that was the motion on forward promotion. We're at unfinished business and new business. And then a motion to move into executive session at a time certain of 10:10 p.m., which is in 12 minutes. So remarkably, we have, despite a slightly late start and a couple of motions to extend time, we save apparently enough time on other items that we're still, slightly ahead of schedule. Is there any unfinished business other than the thing that's carrying along that we don't have a fix for yet?
I'd like to move
is there any new business? Hearing none, Fred, was that a motion to move into executive session?
It sure was.
Thank you. Is there a second to Fred's motion?
I'll second.
Thank you, Heather. Any objections to the motion to move into executive session?
Julie, this is Heather. Can I just make a final comment?
Yes.
I just want to thank Jim for bringing up this motion, however. I'm glad that we're beginning to have a discussion about ways that the programs in community radio stations overall can be promoted. So thank you, Jim.
I totally agree with that.
Good.
Hear, hear.
All right. Are there any objections to the motion to move into executive session? Hearing none, we will move into executive session at exactly 10 p.m.